Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
My show and tell for this morning is all these animals. There are a number of animals. The snakes were a really big hit. Who helped make the snakes? Anybody? Or carefully display them? Rhonda helped carefully display the snakes. Well, okay, so we set all this cool stuff up for Vacation Bible School on Wednesday evening. And then Thursday, during the day, I was working here in the sanctuary getting some stuff done, and I heard from out in the narthex, I heard some of the toddlers from Head Start coming out into the narthex. I think they were on their way to the playground, so they were all on their little Head Start rope. And they came out and they're, whoa, look at this. And they're naming the animals. And of course, everything's a learning opportunity when you're at Head Start, right? And so the teacher was asking the kids, oh, tell me what animal this is and tell me what animal that is. And have you ever seen one of those in real life? And they talked about everything that they saw. And they took a little field trip on their little Head Start rope right through the sanctuary to visit all these animals and those animals over there, and one kid was particularly concerned about the snakes. But she was okay, she made it past. So I just wanna point to all of those, and I wanna thank all of our volunteers who helped us decorate on Wednesday evening, because what you did, of course, volunteers, when you decorated for VBS, is you created this space for imagination to happen, where we can see things differently, imagine things differently, think about things differently. And that's what we're gonna continue doing all the way through VBS, but we got to use that space even before VBS begins tonight. So a lot of those same volunteers who helped decorate on Wednesday are gonna spend all week here working with the kids directly, and we're gonna commission you all later on in the service. So y'all just sit tight. But first, we have a scripture reading. So will you join me in a prayer for illumination? O God, whose voice calls us in the thunder, in the earthquake, and in the fire, speak to us now in words of scripture. Still all voices within us that are not your own. By the power of your Holy Spirit, open our hearts, our minds, and our souls to hear what you would have us to hear and to become the people you would have us be. Amen. The scripture reading is from Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 12 on page 198 in the New Testament of your Pew Bible or up on the screen. Would you please join with me as we read? Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day, observe it in honor of the Lord. And those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God, while those who abstain, abstain in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God." So then, each of us will be accountable to God. This is the word of God. I was sitting at a table with Terry, who was the pastor at a new Pentecostal church. This was several years ago in another city, so you don't have to go find Terry's church. It would be inconvenient to get to. But Terry and I were exploring whether our churches might partner together. This Presbyterian church and this new Pentecostal church, whether we might share space together, whether we might partner together in some other way. Now, that partnership didn't ultimately pan out, and for some unrelated reasons, but we sat there at that table as Terry and his husband were telling their stories, sharing their testimonies. They were raised in Assemblies of God churches where they were formed as young people in a deep relationship with Jesus and a really charismatic worship style. Like, William's gift of music would be subdued there. And they also grew up with this really deeply internalized sense of shame about growing up gay in the tradition that they were growing up in. Their church taught, as nearly all churches did at the time that they were growing up, that sexual diversity is sinful. And so they both left those churches that they grew up in, or perhaps the churches that they grew up in left them. You can tell the story from either angle. Terry went and served in the military. He entered recovery for alcoholism. They both survived. They both survived. And eventually they found each other, and they forged a life together. And part of their life together, the foundation of their life together, was their shared love for Jesus. But they never found a home in a traditional Pentecostal church. Well, thank God the Holy Spirit doesn't wait for the church's permission before it acts in somebody's life. And so the Holy Spirit called Terry to organize a congregation of his own. This is different from the Presbyterian process for doing things. But there's Terry, who has organized a church that he was called to organize. This was at a time now when several mainline churches had already begun fully welcoming LGBTQ people into full participation in the life of the church, including the congregation that I was serving. And still, most Pentecostal churches, the tradition that they had grown up in, been formed in, well, they didn't. And so we had a conversation about partnership between these churches, but we were having a deeper conversation at the same time about their personal faith testimonies, about the life that they had each lived in relationship with God in Jesus Christ. And we were having, at the deepest level, a conversation that was a question of, am I someone that you will accept? That's a heartbreaking question for me. And I hear it a lot. Am I someone that you will accept? Am I someone who will be welcome at your church? This is not just a question of, will I fit in? Although that's a hard enough question all by itself. It's the question of, will you love me? If you know who I really am, will you love me? And that's been an active question anywhere and anytime I have been a visible Christian leader. And it is often, but not always, about the church's boundaries around gender identity and sexual orientation. Often, but not always, about that. I've gotten that question from a restaurant coworker as well. Would I be able to go to your church? I've not always been able to say yes to that. I've gotten really a similar question from a restaurant coworker who just asked, hey, do you know a church in town that worships on Monday or Tuesday evenings? Because she can't afford to be here right now. She can't afford not to be at work right now. Just remember that when you go out to lunch today. And I've heard essentially the same question from kids at VBS who either act out in groups where there's a lot of noise and chaos going on, or they just need a different kind of connection as they go through the week. And we want to welcome everyone. We say that, right? We say that right out there. You are welcome here. All are welcome in this place. And we know that it is not always that easy. It is not always as easy as simply saying you are welcome here. It is legitimately difficult to welcome everybody, even as inclusive as we want to be today. And it's not just because we should try harder at being more welcoming. It's because inclusion begs some real questions. Inclusion forces us to deal with some very difficult questions about who we are and what it means to belong here. And so there are questions that continue to be alive today, continue to be alive in this very room, about the church's relationship with the LGBTQ community. There are honest readings of the Bible that differ from a position of full acceptance and inclusion. I know not everybody in this room reads the Bible the same way that I do. And that's a gift and a joy and a blessing and a challenge. It just is. And even with a fully inclusive, affirming, welcoming reading of the Bible, there are still questions about exactly how explicit do we need to be? How explicit can we be? How explicit ought we be, given the long history of condemnation? I'm just talking about one community right now. But there are also questions when we get together as the church. There are questions about how to eat together. How do we accommodate different dietary restrictions that may exist for medical reasons or for ethical reasons or for cultural reasons? What does it mean to share together bodily in one space together? There are real questions for especially a historically white church such as ours about racial and cultural sensitivity. How do we address histories of violence and erasure and inequity? This is not easy stuff. And this is not new stuff. None of the questions that I just outlined are new at all. They come up right here in our reading from the book of Romans. This practical question about how can the church live together amid all the differences that would otherwise separate us. Differences that could be personal or cultural or religious. These are differences that make a real difference in our life together. So we've just read 13 glorious chapters about reflecting on how God works beyond religious laws and rituals. But not everybody in the church that Paul is writing to feels as free about those religious laws and rituals as Paul does. There are questions within the church about what rules apply, what religious practices apply. In Paul's day, there were questions about the Sabbath, which is a calendar marker of Jewish identity. It's a calendar marker of our relationship with God. Does that apply in the church? There are questions about avoiding meat that would tie the eater of the meat to the Roman imperial religion, which was the primary way that meat was slaughtered and brought to market at the time. These are real differences and real questions about how we relate with the God who has called us and set us free in Jesus Christ. And at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit blew through the church and affirmed the diversity of the world that Christ redeemed. And that meant that those differences between us, they became part of the church. And so the question becomes, how do we, different as we are, share our life together in Christ? And so today we get Paul at possibly his very most nuanced. Paul is not a particularly nuanced writer, but here he is. He says, grace is more important than everything else. The grace of God given to us, the grace that calls us unequivocally into the church, is more important than everything else, including what we bring into the church. And so we are each accountable not to each other's standards, but to God. And that means that we don't hold each other accountable to our standards. We recognize that we are each of us accountable to God. So we try to share life together without setting up barriers for each other. And that means a couple of things. First, it means that we don't judge what our siblings in Christ do. We don't stand in judgment of how our siblings in Christ within the church live. We don't judge their time, their food, their relationship with time. We don't set up boundaries around race or sexuality. All of these are given by God to be used with thanksgiving as expressions of the love of God in our life. But the other thing we do is we avoid doing anything that would make our siblings doubt the gospel. We try to make extra room for those who are disadvantaged or doubting or excluded, and that is hard. It is hard to live in the freedom that Christ has given us while at the same time navigating what someone else may need in the context of our relationship with each other. And that's a whole lot harder than just following and enforcing a defined set of rules. Because the question becomes not, what has God said we all ought to do? The question instead becomes, what is it that would make the gospel clear to somebody who doesn't know that the gospel is for them? What is it that would make the gospel clear for someone who does not know that the gospel is for them? Because the gift of grace is that the good news is good news for people who have only met with judgment in the rest of their lives. So there sat Terry and his husband telling me their stories and telling me the way that they finally so powerfully claimed that grace, the grace that the good news is good news for those who have met with judgment everywhere else they've gone. Terry said, well, I finally read John 3:16 in just the right way. You know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, I'm quoting the right translation here, right? That he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Whosoever believeth in him. And Terry said, that's me. I am a whosoever. I am a whosoever. I belong no matter what anybody else may say. And so Terry testified to me about a kind of welcome and affirmation that I have always taken for granted, that I personally have never had to question for myself. He told me about a welcome and an affirmation that the Holy Spirit finally planted in his heart and began gathering a community around him where that welcome and that affirmation could become real. Now, as I said, the partnership between one congregation and another congregation didn't ultimately end up panning out for reasons that really, if I remember right, had mostly to do with location and probably to do with some differences in worship style and theological emphasis. The questions of will I fit in are still alive even after the question about am I welcome here? Because welcome is hard. Community is hard. These connections are hard. But I am so grateful. I am so grateful for that conversation. I'm so grateful for the testimony about how vital welcome truly is, about how life-affirming it is to be able to claim, I belong to God, and God has welcomed me. I belong to God, and God has welcomed me. And so I pray for the grace to keep on growing in my ability to welcome, to find myself a guest in somebody else's world, to be welcomed there, and to see Christ in my neighbors, the neighbors that I know are my neighbors and the neighbors that I don't yet know. Because the gospel is true. We belong to God, and God has welcomed us, and nothing can ever separate us from the love of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now, a moment for mission.
This week, we will welcome at least 50 kids to Vacation Bible School, and we have almost that many youth and adult workers who will be involved. So I want to recognize and commission these volunteers. I invite you to stand, if you are able, as I call your names. We commission Amanda Harden, Benji Williams, Caitlin Chance, Karsten Barker, Carter Barker, Catherine Hilliard, Charles Chance, Cora Smith, Deb Hayes, Elaine Berry, Elizabeth Hilliard, Ella Harden, Heidi Drake, Jackson Smith, Jean Castor, Jen Chance, Jersey Durham, Joe Chance, Caitlin McClintock, Kelly Springer, Kinley Freeberg, Laura Schieber, Lisa Albers, McKenna McClintock, Margaret Thompson, Marilee Myers, Mark Hilliard, Mary Marshall, Mason Schieber, Nathan Williams, Paige Schieber, Paul Hayes, Rhonda Barker, Ryan Albers, Sabine Parr, Sally Patton, Susan Miller, Susie Thompson, Tamara Sproul, Terry Springer, Warren Pitcher, Wes Schieber, and William Beyer. Vacation Bible School is all about fun and celebration and about the serious work of welcoming everyone. So you, VBS helpers, we commission you to represent Covenant Presbyterian Church to every kid, to embody our relationships and to lift them up. We commission you to represent the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let everything you do be a blessing to everyone who gathers here. We commission you to lead these kids in mission, a mission to bless our neighbors through Lutheran Services of Iowa's Immigrant and Refugee Community Services, and to bless other kids. And we look forward to God's blessing on you through this work. So may you experience Jesus' love and welcome anew during this week. Friends, whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So may you serve with peace and joy.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.